Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umet. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umet, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there and welcome. This is hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, so happy to be here with you this morning along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umet and taking your phone calls. Lines are open right now if you'd like to get through with a medical question. We'd love to talk with you. 888-312-5757. All right, we have Sarah on the line from Seattle. Sarah, thank you so much for your patience. We're glad you're here.
Hello, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Hi. Yeah, first of all, the timing was perfect, you speaking about that 50 cancer test, because actually on Friday I was thinking about calling you guys with a question if you, because I remember Dr. Mixon speaking about it before. But first, I just want to thank you all so much, and I loved how Dr. Umet summarized it so well just now. What you folks do, what you bring to everyone who listens to you and beyond, and certainly comes to your clinic, you raise the bar. You raise the bar for our knowledge and our awareness of taking care of ourselves and what we expect from the medical community. And I just wanted to thank you so much. And Dr. Mixon, all your research, it's always what you bring to us. I always feel very confident in, because I know it's past your tests as far as your scientific screening for the information. And
well, thank you
so much, because we wouldn't get this information anywhere else.
No, you're right. Thank That's you for right. saying that. I still email him regularly with my questions.
Well, see, that's my job, since I don't see patients.
Yeah.
I am the go-to to the doctors when they get a thorny question or a problem, or someone asks them something they can't answer. They tweak me, and
All the time.
I have to come up with a reasonable answer for them. So, but yeah, that's what I do for a living.
Well, and also thank you so much for those the free tests that you make available for people to make them more aware of your clinic and what it offers, and help them become aware of what's possible in raising the bar for ourselves. So thank you for that. My question was, and why I was going to call you on Friday, your office on Friday, actually, and thank you so much for this test you've spoken of. I have a friend who is scheduled to go in for an MRI, just pretty much generally, because he has his primary care physician. He was concerned about a slight bulge on one side of my friend's neck. And my friend last got an MRI with that dye stuff in 2010, because for years he's had bad migraines, but everything was fine back in 2010. So here he's scheduled for this MRI, and I'm somebody who does a lot of research also, and I don't like the idea of those contrast dyes being used, such as that gadolinium, because I've read up about some of the bad things about that, and or even the iodine. But so I thought, oh my goodness, maybe if my friend took this test that you spoke of, what do you think? Could that eliminate the need for an MRI if the MRI is checking for, I guess, cancer, maybe of a thyroid or something?
Probably not. What the blood test does is tell us what sort of tumor there probably has. But let's assume that they did the test, and it came back positive for a lymphoma, for instance. A lymph node has a tumor, but it doesn't tell you where in the body that cancerous lymphoma or lymph node is, or lymph nodes are. And so now you got to do the imaging studies anyway to locate them, okay, and try to find exactly where the tumor is. So some things it may eliminate imaging, but when you tell me that he's got a swelling on one side of his neck, first thing I think of are things such as lymphomas. And, you know, the imaging is probably going to be necessary anyway.
Okay. That, you know, I trust so much. Thank you so much. And I just got to ask you, you know, because I appreciate so much what Dr. Umat was saying a while ago about some of these procedures you guys do, that, you know, it's not injecting chemicals. It's giving people other ways of doing things. What do you think about that? If they either use that gadolinium, which I hate, I just read up on that. That's, or the iodized, I think it's iomidol or something, 370.
Yeah, the problem we're facing is you're looking at how many people get saved because we can identify a particular type of tumor versus how many people are injured by the contrast media.
Yeah.
Contrast media, like everything else in medicine, is not perfect. Some people will react badly to it. There will be some discrete number of people that will have an injury. But the number of significant tumors that we identify and we're able to treat as a consequence far outweighs the downside of the adverse effects from the contrast media. And that's why it gets used. But, you know, the trick is, in medicine, your doctor's job is not to do things for you that have no risks, because those things don't exist.
Yeah.
Everything in medicine, if it's strong enough to help, it's strong enough to hurt. There's going to be a discrete number of people are going to have a bad result with it. It just is. But the question is, what does it help us to find? How many lives can we save? How many injuries can we prevent by using this particular modality? And these contrast media, you know, yes, they do cause some problems for some people, but they help us find tumors and save a whole lot more lives.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't have a problem with them at all.
Most people.
So indeed, with an MRI or even I guess this particular imaging place has a 3T MRI. Mm-hmm. Even with those, they still need the contrast media in order to pick up mm-hmm. things that aren't seen as well.
And to get better detail, yes.
Okay.
Uncontrast MRI would probably tell you that there is a mass there, for instance. But to see the real discrete edges of that mass and so on, a contrast
is necessary. Yeah. And in fact, if they're sending you for a 3T, that's harder to get an appointment for. There are fewer of those MRI scanners available. You're better off doing that rather than doing the regular MRI, because they could be artifacts. Happened to one of my patients recently. Mm-hmm. She went into the ER, was told she had a stroke, and then had to wait for the next MRI the next day that said, okay, no, that was an artifact. You don't have a stroke. You can go home now.
Oh, wow.
So
artifact, do you mean it was an old machine that wasn't diagnosing correctly? Is that an artifact, you mean?
Well, artifact is something that we see that either isn't real or isn't what we thought it was.
So I'm sorry. So you're saying if a 3T MRI is available, that's better because it's more accurate?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. It is more accurate, yes.
Right.
More detail.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all so much. You're so appreciated.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
You know, I remember way back when I was in my internship and residency, and MRIs were something that they were dreaming about someday they could actually make a magnetic resonance. And we were brand new were CAT scans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a CAT scan was so new, the government felt that we shouldn't have too many of them, because the CAT scans were going to be more expensive than regular x-rays, and doctors might overuse them. So they actually set up a government board in each state to decide how many CAT scanners there could be, and who deserved one and who didn't. And oddly enough, they seem to always go to the people that had the best paid lobbyists.
Go figure.
Don't know why that would happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, of course, everybody and their brothers got two CAT scans.
Yes.
You know, and the MRIs are so much more precise than the CAT scans used to be.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to ask what the difference was.
I mean, and like everything else, you know, that technology is changing so fast, you have to make sure that you have the newer technology.
It's the computing power.
Yeah. I mean, we see it in our aesthetics, you know, the newer machines are so much better than the older ones, and we have to keep getting our newer machines.
Yeah, darn it, and I have to keep paying for them.
That's right.
Can you write a check, Dr. Mixon?
I have a wish list.
Yes. Yes. We are here to take your phone calls. We have some more calls we're going to get to, but we have room on the line for you as well. 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. We are going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back in just a moment. That number again is 888-312-5757. Stay close. This is hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. You stay right there.
I also want to say how much I appreciate this program. It's just really valuable. I think the people who aren't calling are just sitting there stunned by the information or anything else.
On a day like today, we pass the time away, writing love letters in the sand.
Hi there, and welcome back. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we're glad you're here. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, taking your phone calls today. A lot of variety in what we've been discussing today. 888-312-5757. Again, our number right into the studio here this morning is 888-312-5757. We're going to head over to Kirkland now. We have Tom on the line. Hi there, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Welcome.
Hey, thank you, doctors, for taking my phone call. I've got a question about a series of symptoms that seem to flow from one into the other. On February 14th, I had a blood test taken. They took 13 vials of blood, and I've got the lab results right here. Anyway, the next day, during my workout, I started feeling lightheaded, seeing spots. I would get temporary headaches that I associated with low blood pressure. I checked my blood pressure, the systolic. The first time was 90, the second time was 100. And these symptoms would come and go for approximately 10 days to several weeks. Also, during that time, my heart would start skipping beats. And for a while, it was skipping every third beat. Now, as those symptoms started fading, I started getting pain in my clavicle or a collarbone. And when that pain would hit, within several minutes, I would start getting pain in a joint of my left thumb and in the joints of my right hand, and then it would move down to the big toe, and the pain would be separated by 2 to 3 minutes. And but it always seemed to be associated with pain in the clavicle. It was almost like there was some kind of inflammatory circulating through my system. So since that started, it gradually faded away, except for the knuckles, pain in the knuckles. So I went to see my doctor. They told me to do a stretch for the clavicle. for the pain in the joints, told me to avoid bacon. And for the hypertension issues or the blood pressure, they just said wait and see. So I'm not sure what my next step should be.
Well, that's interesting. You know, your breathing is obviously labored. So,
well, it's a speech condition.
Okay. I suspect there's a breathing condition here,
nerves.
Too. You have ILD, I understand?
What's ILD?
No, what did the blood test show? What was the results of the blood test?
Okay, let's see. It's several pages. So the first one noticed high glucose, 102 milligrams per, I'm assuming it's deciliter.
Okay.
The next one was a high reading of calcium, 10.6 mg over DL.
Okay.
The next one was immunofixation. It showed an A in parentheses. And then monoclonal protein. It showed 0.3 G over DL. Vitamin B6 levels were high, 109.1 UG over L. And those were the abnormal readings.
So, quite a few things. I presume then this was the first time you found out about these abnormalities in sugar and calcium and other things?
Or is this something you've known about for a while? Okay. So it's new.
Well, I've been a type 2 diabetic, but 2 days after I found out that in 2020, I went on the keto diet, lost 40 pounds in 11 weeks, brought the A1C from an 8.7 down to 5.0.
Good.
And staying on the keto diet, the A1C has always been 5.4.
Oh, good. Well, really good. Just be careful about the keto diet and cholesterol levels. You haven't said anything about a bad cholesterol, so I assume that those things are fine. But clearly there is something else going on with the hypercalcemia that I would have investigated a little bit further, because it could indicate something wrong with the parathyroid glands. And then you also indicated, I wasn't sure it was vitamin B6 or it was vitamin D, but seems like you are high on that as well. So those are things that I would definitely have your doctor look into. Now, with the symptoms of fleeting joint issues and what you've described, you know, it's not common that a blood draw would cause that. I would certainly say, you know, if you had said, okay, there was a large draw and maybe you were borderline anemic or had chronic anemia and something got precipitated and then maybe you had some symptoms related to that anemia, but you didn't indicate that the blood counts showed any anemia. So I'm not sure, but I would definitely rule out other medical problems, especially with parathyroid glands because of the hypercalcemia, and maybe some autoimmune issues that may be lingering. So you might want to know what else is going on, because fleeting joint symptoms can be related to an autoimmune condition.
In fact, it's the most common cause.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mentioned the blood test simply because I have the result.
Right.
I wasn't associating these symptoms with the blood draw.
But, you know, if you've been a type 2 diabetic and your sugars are still running on the high end, that's worrisome. And that sets you up to be at much higher risk for a wide variety of problems, you know, cardiovascular problems, but also autoimmune problems.
Okay. My A1C taken about 3 weeks ago was 5.4.
Very good.
That's excellent. But I think you mentioned that your sugar was high in the blood draw, fasting or whatever, non-fasting glucose.
Let's see. Yeah, glucose.
Yeah.
102.
Okay. So not in the diabetic range, but higher than we like
right,
it to be.
Right. But you've done a good job controlling that diabetes, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. With weight loss and the ketogenic diet would certainly do that. And like you mentioned, your cholesterol is fine. So kudos to you for being successful in that. Good job.
Okay. All right. I'll take your advice and look into those items.
Yes. Look into that hypercalcemia and some autoimmune disease and connective tissue issues that could explain those symptoms of joint. Don't ignore them. They could be the, you know, initial symptoms of something that's going on. So you may want to find out sooner rather than later.
Okay. Thank you for your advice.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom. We have room for you on the phones right now at 888-312-5757 if you'd like to call in like Tom did. 888-312-5757. Heading south now to Tacoma, we have Jan on the line. Thank you for waiting, Jan. Hi there.
Hi there. I have a question. I have ILD, which they believe was caused from sarcoidosis. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if this can cause, also I was just diagnosed with larger than normal red blood cells. And I'm wondering if that can cause that issue.
Interstitial lung disease would be often related to higher concentrations of red blood cells.
It can also cause large width, you know, red blood cell distribution width. Mm-hmm. That it can definitely cause. But she's also saying sarcoidosis.
Yeah, and that's a big red flag. Because with sarcoidosis, we're looking at autoimmune processes.
Right.
And people with one autoimmune disease usually have two or three.
Correct.
It's just a matter of where you can find them.
Yes, and it does run in our family. I have a sister that has connective tissue disease, and what's the other one? There's a couple of other things that seem to run in our family.
Sure, and genetic. That would not be uncommon to cause some issues with the complete blood count. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised.
So what causes larger than normal red blood cells, and what's the damage, or is what can I do? Is there anything I can do to improve?
Well, the most common reasons, there are two really. Deficiencies in some of the B vitamins, B12 or folate, will give you larger than normal cells, but also dyscrasias, that is abnormalities in the bone marrow, that where you're making your red blood cells can cause problems. And those are frequently associated with autoimmune processes of one sort or another. So the fact that you have a high likelihood of having an autoimmune disease, you know, makes it fairly almost expected that you may well indeed have some bone marrow issues.
Okay. And, so should I have a bone marrow test?
Well, it depends. You should see a hematologist, for sure.
It depends upon, you know, is this the first time you've seen this? Is it a lab outlier? Is it recurrent all the time? If it's just seen the one time, I'd wait to repeat the test before I got worried about it.
Okay.
Because lab tests they're a snapshot of that instant when your blood is drawn.
Yep.
And things change. Human beings are not machines. We don't do things the same way all the time. So first step, whenever you get an abnormal report, wait a little bit, repeat the test, and see if it's consistent. If it is, then we have to address it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, ma'am.
All right.
Take
good
care.
Luck.
Appreciate
all
right.
Thank you with that, Jan. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of your calls. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We're so thankful that you're here and that you're listening. We'll be right back because we're not done yet.
Do my friends notice anything different about me since I've been on longevity? You bet they do. They ask me all the time, where do you get that energy and zest for life? And I tell them, longevity.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people, and I'm wondering why. Let's think about living.
Oh.
Let's think about loving.
Good morning. We're back. Leading Edge Medicine is here with you. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. We're taking your phone calls, and there is time for you and room for you on the lines at 888-312-5757. All right, we have a call here from Kathy calling in from Des Moines. Hi there, Kathy. Good morning.
Hi there. My question is about aging skin. I'm 64, and I ski in the winters with high sun and, you know, reflective sun.
Bluebird days, we call them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, bluebird days, exactly.
We love those days.
they're the best. However, you know, I didn't get sunburned. But my nose would sometimes get sunburned, so I really only use sunscreen on my nose. And now I have like sun damage, my lower, you know, my cheeks down to my jaw and my upper lip and chin. And when I smile and look, if I look close, it kind of looks like a web. So
that can be fixed.
I'm wondering. Can it? That's what I'm wondering.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, Bella Medica has answers for you.
Yes. You need to come to our cosmetic area, cosmesis.
Yeah.
We do non-invasive sorts of laser and phototherapies and radio frequency therapies and things that will get rid of the discoloration, get rid of the brown spots, tighten and smooth that skin.
Yeah. I mean, it's a process. It will not happen in one treatment, so you should be prepared for a series of treatments. But come in for a consultation. The consultations are all free. And also good skin care. I know that the girls will go over the treatment protocols, and they'll also show you how to manage your skin better going forward. But good skin care is really important to be able to maintain the gains of the treatments that they give you. And definitely sunscreen. Even if you are not prone to sun damage, it is wise to put sunscreen on. And we have some very good ones in the clinic already, but we're actually bringing in a brand new one, which has been my favorite for a long, long time. And so if you want to come by the clinic, the girls will tell you a lot more. But this is easy. This is not a difficult thing, especially hyperpigmentation and sun damage. It is very common, and we do have some of the best machines that'll help with that. You do need that treatment. It's a pulse light therapy that they will target the pigmented spots, and the pigmented spots will get darker and will fall off over time. In fact, I was recently speaking to my patient who did it on her hands. Because remember, you're talking about face, but the hands will also show your aging.
Oh, yes.
And so this patient of mine did her hand treatments, and she had a filler, and so she wants to do it again. So, easy fix. Treatments are available, but come in for your free consultation so you get a better idea of what's involved.
Okay. You know, I was talking with a gal, and so I was curious. It sounds like skincare serums and your Derma Medica cannot repair the underlying.
No. No, they can't.
Texture.
Really?
No.
And you know, is it more that radio frequency with the PRP? Yeah. Is that recommended?
Or intense pulse light?
I would start with the IPL, the intense pulse light therapy, because the hyperpigmentation is what you're talking about. But then for ongoing treatment, you may want to build more collagen. And that is when you would do the PRP radio frequency treatments.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was a kid,
I don't really
we used
have, too many brown spots. It's really the texture that I'm concerned with.
Well, and of course, that's why they need to take a look at you.
Yeah.
You know, once they actually see and touch that skin, they can come up with a better plan for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I was a kid, we used to think sunshine was good for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
still is good for you, but with a sunblock.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I mean, even in late elementary school, my mother would come and she'd say, Jerry, put down that book and go out and get some good, healthy sunshine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mom. You gave me the wrinkles and the brown spots.
Oh, no, she didn't. She gave you vitamin D. Come on. Don't blame your mom.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh.
But yeah, a lot of times I hear the same story, right? No sunblock, sun damage, now the skin is wrinkled.
And people think that because they didn't get sunburned, that it was okay.
Yeah.
But the sun damage, the damage right down to the genetic layer is happening even without the sunburn.
Right.
It's the cumulative sun exposure that does the damage.
That's right. We have this wonderful lady in our practice. I don't know her personally, but I've heard stories about her because the girls love to talk about her. She's a wonderful grandma, and she has her hair colored, and she rides on motorcycles. And
oh, I love her already.
She has a lot of sun damage, and they've done an amazing job. I see the pictures from the befores and afters. Mm-hmm. That hyperpigmentation is all gone from her face. Wow. She looks great. So,
Yes. So if you're listening, and Kathy, if you're still there, make your appointment for your free consultation. You can do that also by calling 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our Bella Medica website, bellamedica.com, and find out what you can do for that. We're glad you called today.
Yeah, and Crystal is amazing.
Oh, she's amazing,
and she's new to us, and her history is just, I mean, she's just a nice, everybody who's seen her and has had a treatment with her sings her praises. Mm-hmm. She's been in the forces. She's served our country. She's a medical assistant, and she's a master aesthetician, and she's just a nice person, and I enjoy my interactions with her. So give her a call, ask for her, and see what she says, and she'll take good care of you.
Mm-hmm. And as of this month, we have extended hours at Bella Medica,
too.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. We do, indeed. Thank you.
Evening and Saturdays.
That's right.
Now.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing that
wonderful.
Up. Yeah. Monday to Thursday, we're open till 8 in the evening. Thursday and Friday, we're open till 5, but on Saturdays, we're open 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come after work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or you can come on Saturday, too, and then regular office hours, of course. Our whole team is there.
Yeah, and that consultation the first time is free.
Yeah.
And you can get your information and be on your way. All right, let's take another phone call. We have Steve in Puyallup. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
We are well.
Yes.
How can we help you, sir?
So I got a real quick question. I know maybe you guys have some answers. I'm 54 years old, started taking testosterone about 2.5 years ago. Other than that, what I noticed about 6 months ago, my wife and I have been married 25 years, started seeing blood in the semen. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of curious if you had any ideas how that can happen. I went through, he put me on some antibiotics at first, UTI medicine at second, went through ultrasounds, all that, have found nothing at this point. But at times it can be bright red, and then at times it can be dark red.
Okay. And this sounds like, you know, basically just some vascular damage. You get some blood vessels that are breaking.
Okay.
You know, everybody breaks blood vessels once in a while, but some people just have more fragile vessels than other. They're already working you up for all the bad stuff. You know, the thing you worry about are testicular cancers, penile cancers,
correct,
prostate cancers, etc.
He did a prostate. Prostate's okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they've already ruled out the bad stuff, now we're kind of faced with the minor irritations. So I wouldn't get too terribly excited.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. It doesn't bother me to urinate, doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Good. Okay. But you're just on testosterone.
Correct.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of isolated testosterone therapy.
Because, yeah, I've listened to you. I realize that.
Yeah.
I understand.
You know, it's just that unless you are exceedingly lean, you're going to convert some of that testosterone to estradiol. And that estradiol is going to immortalize the cells in your prostate and help cause it to grow. So it's not the testosterone that makes the prostate get big. It's the estradiol and the lack of progesterone. And so whenever I see a guy on testosterone, my first thought is, you know, where is his progesterone? Because I want to protect that prostate against enlargement.
Okay.
Are you on any blood thinners?
Not any blood thinners. My blood pressure is a little bit high. I've gained some weight. When I first started taking testosterone, I was like 260, dropped down to 205, 210. I'm about 240 now. My blood pressure was a little high, 139, 140 over 85 to 90. He put me on 10 milligrams of, what is it, light lift? I forget what.
Lisinopril?
I haven't. Yes, 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 sir.
Okay. All right.
Nothing crazy that I noticed, but I just, and you say blood vessels, so they've tried to rule out all the bad stuff already. Can it heal itself, or does it? I mean,
as we age, our veins become more fragile.
Yeah,
you know, one of the problems of older people is every time you bump yourself, you get a bruise.
Yeah.
You know, people start getting bruises on their hands, on their forearms, on their legs. They bump into stuff. And that's because the veins are just getting, they're more fragile.
Yeah.
The anabolic hormone load and the growth factors are declining with age. And as those growth factors decline, you do a less and less good job of repairing. As old cells wear out, the new cells are not as good. And again, sexuality is a fairly vigorous activity for a man. And so the trauma that your thicker, more resilient, more elastic tissues tolerated well in your 20s and 30s are starting to protest a bit. All right.
Right. Well, and I understand that too. And so in that arena, without getting too graphic, it hasn't really declined there. But what I've noticed, though, since I've been on testosterone, my brain thinks differently, more active in that area, you know, whether it used to be once a week, now it's three times, four times a week, you know, that kind of thing. So, but is there a way, is stem cell an option to rejuvenate those cells?
Yes, although I think the more modern approach is exosome therapies. And two things, because you're how old now?
54.
Okay.
And I every day, pouring concrete every day.
Okay. You're getting to the break point where I start consider senescent cell therapy. As we age, our senescent cells build up and they inhibit growth and repair of the good cells. And so we might want to put you on a 3-week course of senescent cell therapy and then add an exosome therapy on top of that.
Well, okay. I would say before we go that route that the whole cascade of hormones should be addressed first, because that's not being addressed here.
No, it's not being. And, you know, once more,
what do you mean?
Well, progesterone allows the tissues to be more elastic. They stretch and give instead of tearing. So one of the things we'd be looking at is your progesterone. Your pregnenolone is a hormone that turns into a lot of other hormones. Pregnenolone can be metabolized to dehydroepiandrosterone, progesterone. Dehydroepiandrosterone, then from there down to testosterone, estradiol. We look at the entire hormonal cascade and see what's turning into what and what is it doing to you or for you.
Okay.
And then the other thing is making sure your inflammation markers are okay, CRP as well as homocysteine, and that, you know, CBC is telling us if you have an infection or not, because if you're getting recurrent infections, that's a common cause for the bleeding. And sometimes you need antibiotics, and sometimes you may just heal without the antibiotics. But if there's a recurrent cause of infections, then you want to make sure that you treat that.
All right.
Okay. All right.
And so, I appreciate you guys. Thank you. I appreciate you guys on the Saturday mornings. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling, Steve. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back. We've got some more phone calls, and we would love to talk with you as well at 888-312-5757. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
Hey, my wife and I are patients of yours for probably 12 years or so. I really appreciate all you guys do. We really do. Comes from my wife, too, because she just loves Dr. Umet. You know, they talk about everything. But thank you very much, and you guys have a great weekend.
I fall to pieces.
No, it's only a
3D. Each time I see you again.
Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. My name is Lynette Morgan. Glad to be sharing a Saturday morning with you. And our phone callers, we still have more to get to before our show closes today. Phyllis on the line calling in from Seattle. Hi, Phyllis.
Hello, Phyllis.
Yes. Hello, I'm right here. First, I want to thank you for your program and for all the information on your program and on your website.
Well,
now, this morning I was reading about, I've been listening for years. And this morning I was reading about the senescent cells. Mm-hmm. Now, my brother, he's 90 years old now. And in the last couple of years, like maybe 3 years ago, he acquired this ataxia in which his foot is, twisted, and then he kind of drags it when he walks.
Mm-hmm.
Our family has fragile X chromosome, which I think only about 3% of the population has that. But it expresses that chromosome expresses itself in different ways in different family members. But and so my brother was told by researchers in the chromosome in the fragile X chromosome that ataxia came in such late age.
Late onset, yes.
And I'm wondering, okay, he was born with the tendency to have that, but I'm thinking the senescent cells kind of encouraged that and eventually made it happen. What do you think?
It's certainly possible.
Well, but the ataxia with the weakness in the leg is a little complicating here.
It does, and it makes me think stroke.
Yeah.
Because
ataxia alone will not cause that weakness that she's describing. No, unless,
it depends, too. Is he on a drug that's
attached
to ataxia? Because there are a fair number, especially the psychoactive drugs, that trigger ataxia.
Right. So we don't have the whole clinical picture here.
Yeah.
Well, I know that he said he's very healthy. Besides that,
okay.
I don't think he's on any kind of medication.
The problem we've got is we understand in general what the senescent cells do. We understand in general what the signs and symptoms of a high senescent load could be. What we don't know is what are the numbers of a particular set of symptoms from senescent cells, and that's just because it's so new. And the research is ongoing. So, we know that in general, in elderly people, and especially in a 90-year-old, I think the odds on improving their overall health with a senescent cell therapy and or exosomes on top of it are very good. Would it help his ataxia? Whole different question. All right. I don't know. I just don't have... I don't have numbers, I don't have papers, I don't have studies to tell me what the odds are on that.
What would you say about ataxia in general?
Well, ataxia in general, it is a neurologic dysfunction.
A neurodegenerative disorder.
In which the the feedback loop between his feet and his spinal cord and his brain is not working well. Signals are getting stopped along the way. And so
sounds very complicated.
Well, it is. And like we said, there are drugs that do this to people fairly frequently, actually, some of the psychiatric drugs. If he's not on any of psychiatric drugs, then we're looking at some other cause. And, you know, could it be his Fragile X syndrome coupled with the buildup of senescent cells? Yes, it could be. Is it? I don't know. All right. There is a problem, or my problem is that, you know, if you ask me if it's possible, yeah, I suspect so, but I don't know that that's actually what we're seeing. And the only things we could do really would be to sit down with him, go over his history, have a good neurologist work him up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if nothing else turns up, you can give it a try and see if it will improve. But nobody can tell you for sure that it will. You know, that's one of those outer fringe sort of things where you pays your money and you takes your chances.
I'll tell him about this anyhow. Senescent cells is a possibility. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, ma'am. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Phyllis. Yeah,
times like this, I wish we knew more about it. Mm. We just don't.
We do, yeah. But, you know, and he asked me in 20 years, I'll know a whole lot more, unless I'm demented by then. But this 90-year-old is probably...
Not be.
Wow. Although he would be really fun on the show. Just
take away
thought.
What little filter I've got.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll think about that. Yeah. We've got one more phone caller.
We've got one more caller. It's all saying, you know, I used to have an inhibition.
Yes.
but it got lonely and left. So.
Right. We all know all about that.
Eric, hi there, and welcome to our show. We have way too much fun here. Eric is calling in from SeaTac. Hi there.
Oh, hello, SeaTac, Eric.
Yes.
Good morning. Hey, Dr. Mixon, what's the chances there's going to be a non-DNA, non-RNA, a standard old-fashioned traditional vaccine for COVID, like flu shots?
There is one, Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson makes one.
It's got the highest
it's got the highest complication rate and the lowest effectiveness, but other than that, it's great.
Yeah. And Dr. Mixon?
I'm just trying to get across the border into Canada to ski.
Oh, man. I know. The spring skiing is amazing.
A card?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, absolutely.
So all I got to do is risk
get the shot.
Get the shot and risk it and whatever. I think I finally got COVID about a month or so ago.
Uh-huh.
I had a shot. I took my ivermectin, which was I'd had it in advance, but it's like you say, it's really difficult to get prescribed here in the state of Washington, and very difficult to fill it. But it worked.
Yep.
Worked wonderfully for me.
Yeah. Well, and of course the problem is that this version of COVID is so mild for most people. It's hard to tell if the ivermectin worked or it was just a mild case.
Exactly, just got better.
That might be true too.
I mean,
I think it was a little more than that. I failed the test for about 6 days, and I felt pretty crappy in there. I'm figuring to buy this DNA RNA thing. I hope, and we'll see what the future is. And I just want to go to Canada to do
you,
some.
And you want to go ski?
Sure.
The Johnson and Johnson Louise here in the late May.
Oh yeah,
ticket is good there.
Johnson and Johnson.
Okay,
we'll get you past the border.
That's right.
All right.
Okay. Quick question, Doctor.
Yes.
You mentioned a couple times that you had an incident skiing on a glacier. Where the hell was that?
Not Lake Louise.
Not Lake Louise. No.
In the remote past.
That's right. Yes. Well, actually, we took a helicopter up from from Blackcomb.
Oh, you did.
Oh, you were in Canada.
Okay. It was in Canada.
Yeah. Oh.
So you were helicopter skiing out of Blackcomb. A very famous skier, backcountry skier, just died there recently. You know, went into a crevasse.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's exciting,
and
but
helicopters.
Yeah, I've always.
Yes, I agree.
I've always been an adrenaline junkie. Yes. And I can't help it.
We won't let him ski glaciers anymore. We need him here.
It's not allowed anymore.
That's right.
I would have all thought right. You saw enough of helicopters in Vietnam.
Well, I did, but I still
likes jumping
like I said,
out of them.
I'm an adrenaline junkie, so which makes my insurance company very unhappy.
Yeah, that's so true. Oh, Eric, thank you. What a great call to end our show with today. You've been listening to Leading Edge Medicine. So glad you've tuned in. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Our show is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinic. And you can find out more about us by going to our website at lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. That's also where you see and can hear our previous recordings of our shows. Now, we do the show live every Saturday, but of course, they are recorded. We play those back on our website. We call them podcasts, and those are available to you just a few days after they are live. So you can, if you've missed a week or 2 weeks or just want to find out more information, you can tune in, listen to previous Leading Edge Medicine shows. And the other thing that we offer for you is still the free health analysis appointment. That's where you can come in, do a couple of blood tests, a blood test and another test called an in-body test, and our health advocate can find out what's going on in your body. Dr. Mixon likes to talk about if you don't measure, you don't know, and you can assume, like I did, that it's something else, and then when they get all the information, they're like, nope, that something else is okay, but these things need to be adjusted, and it's good to know what's going on and not just, you know, trying to figure it out on your own because we don't know anything. Find out more information. Sign up for that free health analysis appointment. You can do that one of two ways by going to our website, lmclinic.com, or by giving us a phone call. It's that simple. 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG for Longevity Medical Clinic. We want to see you here. We want to see you healthy in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years down the road. Be stronger, be faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and oh my goodness, so much happier than you are right now as you are aging, because of course we are all aging. That phone number again is 866-86-YOUNG. Our website is lmclinic.com. On behalf of Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat, my name is Lynette Morgan. Thank you for listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back again with you live next Saturday.